Okay, this is Monday, April 2nd, and the topic this month is Ego, the Small Self.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Such is the purpose of life, that all it wants and all it asks is an opportunity to appear, and you are that opportunity, and so am I. It is the purpose of religious science to make us aware of that. When we say, such is the nature of life, we mean this life that we all have. There's not your life and my life, there's only one life. And that life is always pushing to come through. And it's coming through us right here and right now. The life that we are experiencing is the life of the universe, or the life of this thing called God. We are not separated from life whatsoever. And that is the point that we want to make sure that our mind is able to accept. Tonight we're going to talk a little bit about the ego mind. The ego mind does not want you to know that. The ego mind wants you to think that all you are is it. The ego mind always wants to keep you separated from this thing that we call God. And we do not want to be separated from this thing called God. So we have hit this many different ways. I come this way and that way at the whole idea that you realize that you are one with God, that all you are is God, but you are not all that God is, that you truly are gods and goddesses. So that you're able to put that into practice, so that when the ego mind tells you that that is not true and tries to separate you from that, you will realize that you are much more than that ego mind. That ego mind, by the way, is in race mind. And it's just parroting what race mind has said. Race mind, by the way, is an accumulation of thousands of years. Race mind has been with us for thousands of years. So all the accumulation is in race mind. That's why we have all the little things. So the other reason we want to break out of the ego is so that we can get rid of or awaken to the idea that we do not have to have repetitive thinking, that we can get out of the groove of repetitive thinking, that we can get out of the groove of conditional thinking. Race mind is always conditional. You're conditioned to think of a certain way. The ego wants you to do that. How many people do something and you think that, or think something, either do or think something, and you think, I'm the only one that's ever done that? You see, now that's an out-and-out lie, because we're using only one mind. The ego mind always wants to tell you, you're the only one that's ever done that. You're the only one that's ever done that. I told you the story of Quimby, Phineas Quimby. Phineas Quimby was a metaphysician, lived in New England, and he was quite a healer at the time. In fact, they said they would call Phineas and they would call the undertaker at the same time, whichever one got there first got the body. Phineas was able to talk people out of something, but what he discovered is that everyone thought they had committed the ultimate sin. And see, there's no such thing as the ultimate sin. Your ego mind wants to tell you that you're the only one that's ever done that. So, by convincing these people that they were one with God, they were able to give up the idea that they had committed the ultimate sin, and therefore they were able to heal themselves. The ego mind does not want you to know that. It wants to keep you isolated from this thing that we call God, or this thing that we call the universe, because if you're isolated, it can control you. And it can make you think that you're the only person that has ever had this thought, or the only person that has ever done that act, or whatever it is. That's an absolute impossibility. I believe in what Shakespeare said, there's nothing new under the sun. Somebody else has done it long before you. So don't think that But we punish ourselves all the time when we have some strange thought or we do something. We think, oh, I'm way out here in the limb and I'm all by myself. No one has ever done this before. See, the ego wants to keep you separated. It wants you to think that you're the only person and we're all connected. The ego does not want us to know that we are connected. So, with talking about the ego, it is why it exists, I have no idea. It would be so nice if it didn't exist, but perhaps it exists so that we can overcome it. You know, this is Holy Week, and in the Christian church, they're going to talk about the resurrection, and they're going to talk about this man named Jesus. One of the things that Jesus was able to do was get rid of his ego. He said, I have overcome the world. I've overcome the world. I've overcome my ego. And that's what we're learning to do here. Not to listen to your ego mind. Your ego mind will always tell you that you're not enough, you don't have enough, and you don't do enough. It will never tell you that you're a wonderful, marvelous person. It will never tell you that. It does not want you to know that. So it keeps you always in that state of nervousness, of anxiety, thinking that you have done something wrong, thinking that you're not worthy. And that's why we teach also that you are worthy and deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. The ego mind does not want you to know that. It wants you to think that you're unworthy. It always wants you to think that you're less than. When it has that and has that power, that's the power over you. And you listen to that. So, before we go any farther, Andy, will you say, I am not my mind? And pass it to them. To Scott.
I am not my mind.
I am not my mind.
I am not my mind.
And I am not my mind. And this is what we have to remember. Remember, this teaching is about that. So while I wanted to talk a minute about this whole thing of Holy Week and so forth and this Christianity and all the things that go on, they never tell you that you are not your mind. They're more concerned with praising God, giving so much credit to Jesus, or whatever they're doing out there. And so many people are still miserable. They can go to church, they can learn all this stuff about God and about Jesus and Mary and who else they want to know. But they're not happy individuals. They're not happy individuals because the ego mind will not allow them to be happy. Will not allow them to be happy. Why people continue to go to those things absolutely baffles me, because it's nothing but twaddle. But they eat that up. The ego mind wants to eat up twaddle, you see. It's food for the ego. And you must not feed your ego. You must stand up to your ego constantly and tell it what you want, not what it wants. Your ego is a very important part of you. It's brought to you to where you are today. But now it's time for you to recognize that and take over that ego and say, listen, ego, I can manage my own life. I can run my own life. I do not need all this prompting from you, because the prompting is always going to be wrong. It's always going to keep you in a state of anxiety. Why that is, I do not know. I just know that that's the way the mind works. And that's why we call it the ego and we call it the small self. We're not talking ever about the small self here. We're talking about a bigger self that's inside of us, outside of us, and everywhere. We're talking about this thing called the universe, this thing called God, this thing called spirit, which is always much bigger. So, when we say we are not our mind, then we have to say that we can start with understanding that we are the thinker behind the thought. And we can get that far, that we're the thinker behind the thought. But then you're also much bigger than the thinker behind the thought. You're always going to go higher and higher and become bigger and bigger with your thinking. But you have to release the ego mind first. Most of the world, I'm going to make a big statement, 98% of the world operates from the ego mind. Why are we always hurt? Why are we always upset? Why are we always disappointed? It has to do with the ego mind. Because what do? You take things personally. If somebody says something to you, you take it personally. Then you don't take anything that anyone says to you personally. That's the ego gets hurt, and it gets damaged. So then you get into a fight, you get into all this, you get into a bad mood, but you're doing that to yourself because the ego wants you always to be in turmoil. And we don't want to be in turmoil. We want to find this peace of mind, this stillness that is within us. From this peace and stillness that's within us comes all the creativity that we need. The ego cannot create anything but turmoil. It never has, it never will. And you know people with what you would call the large egos and so forth, that is it. At that extreme, and then we have people that have very little ego, you see. You must find that balance, but you must realize that you're not your ego, and then you must realize that you're not your mind. I had a client this morning for the first time, and I tried to explain to her, college graduate in psychology, that she was not her mind. She had never heard that concept before, and she could not grasp that. She said, well, then what am I if I'm not my mind? I said, well, you know you're not your body. Oh, yeah, I know I'm not my body. Well, then you're not your mind either. You're much bigger than those two things. If you want to call it God, if you want to call it spirit, if you want to call it the universe, whatever you want to call it, you have to know that you're not that part. That part is going to play a part. When your ego is trying to tell you that you're not enough, don't have enough, and don't do enough, you must sit down and correct that thinking. You have to correct that thinking. And you can do that with affirmations. So I want to go through these affirmations because this has all to do with the ego. And it has to do with building the ego. Affirmations are the most wonderful things in the world. I told you before that I used affirmations 30 years ago when I first died. No, 30 years ago, I think, or 35, I realized what an affirmation was. I never knew what an affirmation was. And when I started to do affirmations, I was in the real estate business, and I would be driving all over town, and I would do one affirmation from one stoplight to the next stoplight, and then I'd change it to the next affirmation, and I would do affirmations all day long. I didn't drive anyone crazy because I was alone most of the time. Affirmations work. They help to change your mind, but then you must put them into action, you see, because action always speaks louder than words. But we start with affirmations. So if you want to correct your ego, we can do it by using affirmations. So I will go over these quickly. Today, I will give to others only the gifts I want to accept for myself. Only the gifts that you want to accept. Doesn't that sound very familiar? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you? What gifts do you want people to give to you? Do you want love, respect, attention? You must give that back. You must start that process. The ego mind does not want you to do that. Today I choose to let go of all my past misperceptions about myself and others. Instead, I will join with everyone and say, I see you and myself only in the light of true forgiveness. True forgiveness. If you haven't forgiven anybody, somebody, if you still have that unforgiving attitude in your mind, it's your ego that's doing that. The ego will not forget, and it will not forgive. But your bigger self can do that, and you can move out of that ego mind to a bigger concept and let that go. Throughout the day, whenever I am tempted to be fearful, I will remind myself that I can experience love instead. The ego does not experience love. The ego is always fear-based. It will always be fear-based. It's the same way with the world. The world does not teach love, although they say love makes the world go around, but it uses fear to motivate. The world always uses fear, and your ego mind uses fear. How many people have a bad thought, a fearful thought, and it just keeps multiplying and multiplying and multiplying? That's the ego doing that to you. That's the ego doing that to you. The other part of your mind that you are able to use does not teach fear. It teaches love, it teaches acceptance, it teaches forgiveness. So if you can give up those things, look at your ego and say, that's just my ego. It's not me, because I know that I am not my mind, therefore I cannot be my ego. You can move out of that, and you can start to forgive. Forgive yourself and forgive other people. Forgive yourself and forgive other people. Life is too short to hold anything, slights, grudges, anything about anything. I have a friend, I talked to her last night on the telephone. She's older than I am, and I'm 69, and I know she has to be 5 or more years older than I am. She still says to me, you know, my mother hated me. Now, that may be true, it may not be true, but who wants to repeat that? She's almost ready to leave this plane of action. Almost ready to leave this plane of action. We all think our parents should have been better. They should have done something. They did exactly what they knew how to do. Forgive them. Forget that. That's the ego again. Holding a grudge. I grew up in a family where the ego ran everything. It ran their life right into the gutter. And it never forgave anything. It never forgave anything. I told you the story. When I would go home, they could repeat every mistake I ever made. They could tell me exactly every mistake I ever made. What good is that? That's just ego. And not a pleasant way to go through life. And not pleasant for them or for me. Don't do that to yourself and don't do that to others. Everyone's doing the very best they know how to do. Everyone's doing the very best they know how to do. I am not a robot. I am free. I am determined to see things differently now. I am not a robot. I am determined to see things differently now. The ego is the conditioned mind. It's the repetitive mind. You have to give up that repetition. Every time you do that, the groove that's in your head, which they can actually prove that your brain creates grooves, you make that groove deeper. You make it deeper with repetitive thinking. And I think repetitive thinking is the worst thing in the world. You know, who wants to think that same thought over and over and over for 30, 40 years? Give it up. Give it up. That's the ego doing that to you. To find peace and stillness in your life, you must recognize the ego, and you must let the ego go. And you must find that stillness that's within you. From that stillness is where you will find creativity. Only through that stillness, not with the turmoil that's going on with your ego. I want to experience peace of mind right now. I happily let go of all attack thoughts and choose peace instead. I want to experience peace right now. You can experience peace right now by forgiving, by not having the repetitive thoughts. A thought came to me the other day. We have a statue of limitations in the world, in law and so forth. The statue of limitations. Why don't you tell yourself that the statue of a limitation has run out on all that stuff you're thinking about and you don't have to think about it anymore? You know, you've reached it. You've reached that limitation, that statue of limitations. Let it go. Let all that go. Otherwise, it'll just keep getting deeper and the ego will just keep at you. Today, I will allow myself to have the goal of inner peace by putting all attention on the following thought. Today, I will view without judgment everything that occurs, knowing that all events provide me with another opportunity to experience love instead of fear. Love instead of fear. In Course in Miracles, they say that there are only two emotions, love and fear. And they also say in Course in Miracles, life is a choice. Which one are you choosing? Are you choosing love or are you choosing fear? And so many people choose fear. They choose fear thoughts. And we have that in race mind, and we certainly have that in the world, because the world is always telling you something is going to happen. Something is dreadful coming. Coming your way. Coming your way. Coming your way. For the last 40 years, I've been waiting for the killer bees. They have yet to get here. But every 40 years, they've been talking about killer bees. Starting all kinds of fear and so forth. I don't pay any attention to that. I do not pay any attention to that stuff. The world wants to tell you. The world wants to tell you. I was in a supermarket. And the lady picked up a package of frozen something or other. And she says, oh, look, it says it's made in Mexico. I wonder if it's any good. I said, I'm sure it's just as good as anything else. Where it came from has no difference. We have a fear because of the world and because of publicity that says things that come from other countries don't live up to the standards that we have when it comes to food and so forth. But how many times do we hear an outbreak of E. coli, an outbreak of this, an outbreak of that, which starts in this country. Which starts in this country. You say, I trust everything. I'm not a fear-based person. I'm not a fear-based person. I'm having computer work done. A man came today, and then when he left, still isn't working, so I left a message on his phone, and I said, I have to go and teach class tonight. I will leave the front door open. Come in and fix the machine. I am not one bit afraid that somebody's going to come in and clear my house out while I'm gone. You see, you cannot live in fear. You have to live in love. You have to live knowing that this universe is for you, not against you. It's a friendly universe, and it's user-friendly, and we must learn how to use the universe. That's the same way as learning how to use God. Instead of all this worshiping and carrying on and hymns and music, which I happen to love, by the way. But that doesn't. You cannot change the mind of God. You can only change your mind. The mind of God only knows good. You must come to a point where your mind only knows good instead of listening to the ego, which says it doesn't. You see, you must do that yourself. So God does not change minds. God makes minds but God does not change mind. But you have the power to change your mind. And you can do it with affirmations. You can do it with prayer. There's all kinds of ways to change your mind. You can change your attitude anytime you wish. You do not have to have a bad attitude. That's the choice that you have. So choose to use a different part of your thinking. And don't go down that same repetitive road that everyone else is going down. You often hear me say that this teaching is to teach you how to go through life differently. Completely differently than other people. You say, you don't want to go through life with all the turmoil, which I call the nits and fleas of life that other people are experiencing, all this drama that's going on, all this stuff that, you know. You do not have to do that. You will do that if you live in your ego mind, because the ego mind has to create turmoil. It has to keep you spinning all the time so that you never realize who you are. It does not want you to know that. That, I don't know why that is, but I know that that is absolutely true about the ego mind. I'll tell you another thing about the ego mind, what my ego mind says to me when I was putting this talk together. It says, you don't know a damn thing about this, Dallas. Why are you going to talk about it? Exactly what it said to me. I said, watch me. Just watch me. That's ego mind. You have to listen to it, not say, go back to the nothingness from whence you came. You're not going to get me down. You're not going to get me down. And it doesn't get you down. See? You have to learn to control your thinking. And you can only control your thinking by grabbing that ego mind and telling it no more. Thank you very much. You've brought me this far. Now I can do the rest myself. And you can do the rest yourself. But you have to let that go. Okay? Throughout the day, if I feel somehow victimized, I will repeat, only my loving thoughts are real, and in it is only those thoughts that I will allow in this situation. What thoughts are you allowing to come into your head, into the situation that you're in? If you're allowing the ego mind to tell you, it's going to tell you that the whole thing is going to pots. It won't tell you anything. The ego mind, you see, if you come up with a good idea, the ego mind will immediately come up with 10 reasons why you cannot do it. It will never give you 10 reasons why you can do it. It'll tell you you're too old, you're not old enough, you don't have the education, the weather's not correct, you know, it's not the right time, the economy's bad, this is going on, that's going on. That's all ego mind. That's all ego mind going on in there. This instant is the only time that there is. Today I release myself from past pain and suffering by living in the immediate present. Live in the now. It's the only place there is to live. But the ego mind wants to take you to the future and it wants to take you to the past. It does not want you to live in the present moment. If you live in the present moment, you will see how wonderful life truly is. It's your thoughts and it's the ego thoughts that is causing all the pain and suffering in your life. And they're only thoughts. They're only thoughts. When you think about the past, it no longer exists. It only exists as a thought form. It only exists as a thought form. You do not have to think about it. You do not have to allow your mind to convince you that it is real. It is not real. It is an absolute illusion. The only thing that is real is the very present moment. The only other thing that is real is this thing that we call truth, or this thing that we call God. And God only lives in the moment. We worship what's called a living God. You see? And if it's in the past, God does not live in the past. And you do not live in the past. But your ego mind wants to pull you back. The ego mind wants to pull you back. Do not allow that tug from the ego mind to pull you back. Do you remember Saul's wife in the Bible? She looked back and turned to salt. Metaphysically, what that means is, when you're living in the past and looking back all the time, your mind crystallizes. It turns to salt. You don't want to do that. You don't want to become a pillar of salt. You want to live in the now and then project into the future. Take that now and go this way. Don't go backwards all the time. Like so many people, it will not help. Should I feel my peace threatened today, I will choose to see the unity of peace and love rather than the fragmentation of fear. I can always say, I can see peace and love instead of this. You can see peace and love instead of what you're concentrating on. Peace and love. You know, I told you the story before that I do affirmations 3 every morning before I get out of bed. When my eyes open up, I immediately have my mind in that mindset. And the first one is, I can do all things through God, which strengthens me. I can do all things through God, which strengthens me. The next one is, today I will judge nothing that occurs. I've been working on that for I don't know how many years now. And sometimes I can make it clear to the kitchen before I have a judgment. But I keep working on it. I keep doing it. Because the judging mind is the ego mind. Only the ego mind judges. If you're using your higher mind or your higher self or this thing that we call God, God does not judge. God never judges. And God certainly does not judge you. Remember my little saying, God never sits in judgment upon itself through you. Never sits in judgment upon itself through you. Okay. Today, I will teach only love, for that is what I am. I will teach only love, for that is what I am. So with these little affirmations, if you use them each day, you will start to feel your ego loosening. It has a tight grip on you. And you must get rid of that tight grip. And it will also jerk you around, and it pulls you back very quickly. Because it has a set script that it uses constantly. And the set script, which I said before, is you're never going to be enough, you're never going to do enough, and you're never going to have enough. It tells you that right away. But we're going to tell it what? That we are worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that we matter. With that, let's do the matter dance. It'll also warm us up. Oh, God. I matter. I matter. I really, really matter. I matter. I matter. I really, really matter. Yes. So with all this thing about Christianity, and this is Holy Week, and I think it's absolutely wonderful that it's Holy Week and all, and I think it's nice that we have this man called Jesus, and I think it's nice that we have all these churches and all this religious hoorah going on. Nothing wrong with that whatsoever. But you have to remember that it's your mind that is causing everything. Now, what part of your mind do you want to use? Do you want to use that sacred part of your mind, that spiritual part of your mind, or do you want to use your ego mind, which is going to tell you that people are awful, this is awful, the world is horrible, everything is falling apart, this, that, the other thing? Or do you want to use another part of your mind that's telling you what a wonderful, marvelous person you are, how wonderful this life is, what a wonderful experience this is? This is what you want to do with your mind. But you have to do it. You have to do it. Remember, Emmett Fox said, you must remember that it's a mental world that we live in. This is a mental world. We may be spiritual beings, but we're living in a mental world. We're not living in a spiritual world. We're living in a mental world. It also looks like it's a physical world. But it's a mental world. So all the things that are going on out there in the world, all these religions and so forth, all well and good. But if you do not respect your own self, if you do not hold yourself in the highest of esteem, and if you cannot control your thinking, there's no sense to it whatsoever. It's done with your thinking. It's done with your mind. And we can all learn to do that. We were just never taught. So we are repeating repetitive thinking, and we are repeating conditioned thinking. We are conditioned from day one. And the repetitive thinking that we have, as I said before, which is in the ego mind or in the race mind, has been with us for thousands of years. We are slowly pulling ourselves out of that by learning to see ourselves differently. But we have to see ourselves differently. This is not the faith of your fathers that we're teaching. The faith of our fathers, they thought, oh, well, isn't that wonderful? They know everything, and they just kept passing that stuff down constantly. And it's time now to think differently, but to think differently about yourself. To think differently about yourself. And you don't have to throw the baby out with the bathwater and think that all religions are hateful, mean, and spiteful. You have to use your mind and work your way through all that twaddle and see if there isn't some truth in there somewhere. There's a fine line of truth that runs through every religion. But people have hung so many things on that fine line, you can't see it anymore. You just can't see it. There's a lot of dirty laundry out there. You must think for yourself now. And you must have that ego mind under control so that you can say, I am a wonderful human being. I have a wonderful mind. I know how to think correctly. I know how to think correctly. And I can think for myself. I do not have to join with other people. I can be a majority of one. I can be a majority of one. You see, the ego mind wants to get 10 other people to side with you. You don't need 10 other people. If that is what you're thinking, that is fine for you. That is fine for you. Do not let the ego do those stupid tricks to you. And you see people constantly out there letting their mind or the ego part of their mind run their lives. And they're running them right into the ground. They're running them right into the ground. You do not want that to happen to you. You can find peace. You can find joy. You can find stillness by yourself. And therefore, you can find heaven. Heaven, as Jesus said, is at hand. It's right here and right now. There is no geographical location for heaven. People always go, oh, heaven. And the other place, oh, down there. There's no geographical location. It's inside of you. And it's done with your thinking. You're making your own heaven and you're making your own hell. There is no God doing that for you, and there's no punisher out there punishing you. Now, we have archetypes, which one day I'll get into, not tonight. But one of the archetypes I'll get into tonight is the archetype of victimhood. You see, there's an archetype of victimhood, and we think we're victims of something. Give that up. You're not victims. You're victorious. You're not victims to anything. You see, it's done with your thinking. You have to say to yourself, I'm victorious. I have risen above all of this. Now, if you want to know the whole essence of the Easter theme, which is this Sunday, the whole essence of the Easter theme metaphysically is what? The stone has been rolled away and the tomb is empty. The stone that you have placed in your mind that's kept you in prison is rolled away, and resurrection has occurred. Now you can release yourself from the tomb into a new life. A new life by using your mind correctly and by giving up your ego. That is what the whole message of Easter is about. The stone has been rolled away and the tomb is empty. Resurrection has occurred. So allow that resurrection to occur within you. With that, I'll do a few cards. It is inner stillness that will save and transform the world. Inner stillness. We say this all the time. They could have a peace march for the next 100 years, and it will not cause peace. Because those people, while they're doing that, they're thinking of everything else. They're not in stillness at all. They're marching like a herd of sheep over the cliff. It's done inside of you, and it's done with your stillness. I wouldn't march for anything. Think about it. They've been marching forever. You can march and buy every bracelet known to man. It's not going to do anything unless you change the inside of you. People think, oh, look, I have all these bracelets. This one's for cancer. This one's for this. This one's for this. This one, you know. Forget it. It's not going to do a damn thing. I make the bracelet company money. That's all it's going to do. True intelligence operates silently. Stillness is where creativity and solutions to problems are found. If you have a problem, sit down, still your mind, and the answer will come to you. And when you're sitting down and stilling your mind, say, thank you very much, ego. Go away. I don't need you in here telling me anything at the present moment. I'm going somewhere else, and you are not welcome. You are not welcome. Remember, your ego has never been your friend, and it will never be your friend. Why do you want to drag it around with you? Don't. It's a mean, hateful thing. Whenever you deeply accept this moment as it is, no matter what form it takes, you are still. You are at peace. You see, you cannot fight the present moment. You cannot fight what is in front of you. That is becoming morally superior to the moment. And you can't be morally superior to the moment. You must accept the moment exactly as it is. And the ego mind wants to tell you that that moment is going to last for the next 30 years. We're talking a moment. one moment. Remember, everything that comes into existence to go out of existence. Don't hang on to the moment. Look at it. It will change. But you want to keep it. Your ego mind wants to tell you, aha, now you've done it. It's going to stay there forever and a day. And it's not. Comes in to go out. Comes into existence to go out of existence. We come into existence to go out of this existence. Everything comes into existence to go out of existence. Feeling the oneness of yourself with all things is true love. Feeling the oneness with yourself is true love. Nature is a wonderful place to go if you want to find oneness. If you can look at a tree just as a tree, you can get oneness with that tree. That tree happens to be life. That tree happens to be God. The same as you are. The same as you are. So, here again, use what's around you, and I say use nature, use all these things, use this week, which is called the Holy Week, to bring something new into your life. Get prepared for the stone to be rolled away. Get prepared for resurrection to occur inside of you. The resurrection of new life. The resurrection of new thoughts. You are made new by the renewal of your mind. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.